This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, our focus turns to some vexing issues surrounding social media and how employers should best respond. We've all heard horror stories about the disgruntled employee who trashes their employer on Facebook, Twitter, or some other online forum. And that's led many companies, often on the advice of employment lawyers, to adopt social media policies. The hope behind these policies is to prevent employees from posting inappropriate messages and help dictate how an employer's image is presented. But at least one expert takes a contrary view about social media policies and what you should do with them. In her long legal career, Heather Bussing has represented employers, unions, and employees, giving her a unique perspective into all sides of workplace disputes. Heather is also a prolific blogger in her role as legal editor at HR Examiner. And she joins us now. Heather, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and let's get right to it. This might surprise some people who think having a policy is just the be-all and end-all, but you say that the best place for social media policies is in the garbage. How come?
Well, because policies do not prevent problems. And with social media, everything moves so fast, and there is absolutely no way to undo it, and it is public, and once it goes out there, it is done. And there's no turning back. So preventing the problem is the key with dealing with social media issues.
What's another big reason you see as being why social media policies backfire at times?
Well, the other big problem, and the one that the lawyers are grappling with, is that it's almost impossible to draft one that actually is legal. Because the National Labor Relations Board is coming in and looking at them and saying, hey, you have to let employees talk about the conditions of work, their wages, hours, working conditions, disputes with a manager. So the NLRB has been vigilant in looking at policies, especially the big ones. And even the ones that they have said are okay can have problems under state law.
Well, you just mentioned the National Labor Relations Board, and they've been active, to say the least, in policing employers that take action against employees for comments or posts that a company might deem inappropriate. Does the NLRB have a point that some employers are overreaching and trying to tell employees what is and is not okay to say online?
Oh, absolutely. What employers want is their employees to never say bad things about them. And that's not an unreasonable thing to want, you know, on the flip side. But you have to let the employees discuss work with each other, and they do. I mean, and today social media is really no different than talking on the phone or hanging out at the break room. It's just that it's in public. So the employer's desire to control that is reasonable, but a policy doesn't do that, and that's fundamentally the problem.
It's really the new water cooler, so to speak.
It is.
Well, there are sites like Glassdoor, for example, where employees and former employees can post reviews. And not surprisingly, for people willing to take the time to write, these reviews often can be less than flattering. So are employers better off ignoring these comments rather than trying to engage directly in light of what you said about the NLRB?
First of all, I know a lot about Glassdoor and their processes, and they are very good at moderating what gets posted. I mean, they try to present a very accurate portrayal of the employer, but they're careful not to let, you know, flamers and trolls get in there and stir things up. So my advice to employers is to keep track of what people are saying and take it seriously, because often it really is the manager that's the jerk and that is causing problems, and this is an important resource. For stuff that is valid, that the employer takes a look and says, oh yeah, you know, we should look at that, respond to that and say that you're doing something, because I think that says amazing things about your company. For the nitpicky, gripey stuff that looks like nitpicky, gripey stuff, leave it alone, don't respond. But the best way to deal with negative reviews is to actually work on your workplace and have a good workplace where people have the resources they need to do a good job, and you treat them like grown-ups.
Well, speaking of how to respond, Heather, for employers who might be scratching their heads now wondering how to prevent employees from eviscerating them online without running afoul of the NLRB, what's the best advice you have for how to proceed?
Training. Figure out what you're afraid of, besides people saying bad things, because you can't have that and you just have to get over it. But figure out what's important to you and what you are afraid of. And there are some legitimate things. I mean, you don't want your trade secrets getting out. You don't want company strategy. You don't want people revealing private information about each other. And so look at what's going on. Look at what your concerns are. And then teach people why it's important and what to do and not do. And don't wrap policies around it. Help them understand.
I've seen some model social media policies, and there are some other legitimate concerns that they do attempt to address, such as don't post confidential information online and be mindful of intellectual property laws. So how can an employer protect those interests without actually having a social media policy?
If you have those types of issues in your workplace, you're going to have confidentiality policies, and hopefully you're going to have information about what's confidential and what's not and how to do that. And if you don't, teach people, because most of the policies are written very, very broadly, and they don't really define what is legitimately secret and what information specifically is to be concerned about. And not everyone knows. So again, because social media is public and because preventing problems is the absolute key, you need to teach people in advance and not just have a broad policy that says, you know, you may not disclose confidential information.
Again, we're speaking with Heather Bussing, California employment attorney and legal editor at HR Examiner. Heather, are there types of industries where the concerns are even greater and additional steps need to be taken to protect against disclosures via social media?
Definitely. If you work for a publicly traded company and you have confidential information, you're regulated by the SEC, there are windows where if things are happening that nobody can do anything, nobody can say anything, and you need to be aware of those and what's going on. The financial industry has Graham Leach Bailey that regulates what information is private and cannot be disclosed or transmitted places, and so you need to be very aware of that. The healthcare industries are dealing with confidential information governed by HIPAA. And so it's very important to understand what information is private and that you just can't talk about what you're doing with patients, you know, on Twitter.
Right.
So I think most people would understand that, but we're still early. And the understanding of the technology and that even on Facebook where you have your privacy settings, it's not really private.
Very true. Speaking of privacy and some areas where things are a bit blurred, let's talk about the advent of employees bringing their own devices to work as they increasingly mix the personal and professional on those devices. Has this trend raised new concerns for employers that you're seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing like a huge overreaction by IT departments who are absolutely flipping out about connecting devices to the network servers and the concerns for viruses or infection. And that's a legitimate concern, but there are also very easy technical ways to solve that. I mean, one example is to have everyone dial in to go to my PC or something like that, where there's an interim server and the external devices are not all directly connected. If it's a technical problem, there are always creative technical solutions. From the employee side, you want to be careful about what apps and what information, you know, the employer is requiring you to put on your phone. So there was a recent case where it involved traveling salespeople, and so the employer had all the employees put an app on their phone that allowed the employer to track that they made their stops and what they were doing, and the employer was actually using it to spy on people during off hours because there was no way to turn that app off. And so one manager started stalking an employee using this app and knowing where she was and how long she was there. And so he knew that she went to this bar and was there until midnight. And that's just creepy. And you do not want those situations. And then when she said, "I'm not doing this," and took the app off her phone, she got fired for it. Now there's a lawsuit. So privacy is important. The boundaries on devices and how they get used are really important for both employers and employees to understand and to figure out a solution in advance. So just because there's a cool app that allows you to do something, it doesn't mean this is the right thing. Think it all the way through and make sure you understand what's going on with the connections between your system. And then the other thing is employers generally have an absolute legal right to monitor any of their own hardware. But when it's the employee's phone, they don't. So if you need pictures or if you need something for an investigation for sexual harassment or fraud or embezzlement or something, and it's on that employee's phone, it's good to have them sign some sort of consent that allows you to get their phone and get information off it if there's a legitimate need to know. The flip side is you can't abuse that, or you're going to have much bigger problems. So it's a balance. It's a technical privacy and good judgment, good workplace balance. And those tend to be handled on a case-by-case basis rather than through blanket policies.
You mentioned, though, that there's been a huge overreaction by IT departments. What did you mean by that in terms of privacy, or in what respect?
Privacy, but also requiring lots of passwords, and sometimes they will only support one device. So one example that I've read about recently is a big law firm that issued BlackBerries. And you're welcome to use your iPhone, but IT will only support a BlackBerry. So if you have trouble importing the calendar or importing something so that you only have to carry one device, IT won't support you because they don't have the resources to do that, or they've decided that that's not what they're going to do, and they only want things to work one way because that's how they're set up. And the backfire is that here you've got lawyers out there billing by the hour who are messing around trying to make their phone work and not getting billable work done. And so is this really the best approach? And it's important to look at the whole picture.
You know, you were talking about social media policies and how they're really unnecessary earlier. We're now starting to see a lot more employers adopt BYOD policies, referring to bring your own device to work. In light of your earlier comments about social media, do you feel the same when it comes to employers drafting these BYOD policies?
Again, I think you want to be careful. And I think that you should be clear with your employees about what the employer's access is, what information they feel they have a right to collect, and how they're going to use it if they're collecting information off an employee's private phone, and what they're looking at. Because, for example, under California law, you may not discipline an employee for off-duty conduct unless it directly and detrimentally affects the employer. So if an employer has access to the employee's phone through the network or whatever and is looking at personal things and then decides that this person, you know, did something inappropriate while drunk at a bachelor party, or you just have to be careful. Again, it's okay to clarify who gets to see what and how that gets used, but really a BYOD policy is as much for the employee's protection as it is for the employer. And that's the piece that employers often miss.
Well, final question, Heather. And as you know, things change so quickly with technological developments coming about as fast as green bananas turning yellow. So
yes.
is there an emerging issue that you see with social media that might not be on employers' radar screens just yet?
Video, facial recognition, wearables, biometric data, all of these things are coming up, and wellness programs that collect that information and whether the employer has access. So there's all sorts of technical things that may not be social media per se, but that are related. Employers are going to need to look at carefully and think about privacy, access to data, who has rights, who gets to use it. And the best way to handle that is to know exactly what's going on and be very clear and transparent. Give notice if you're collecting personal information about somebody, and tell people how it's going to be used. And if you don't absolutely need it, allow people to opt out.
Heather Bussing is a California attorney and the legal editor at HR Examiner. She has represented employers, unions, and employees during her legal career. And she also writes frequently on employment law issues. Heather, before you go, why don't you tell our listeners briefly, for those unaware, about the HR Examiner?
The HR Examiner is a blog at hrexaminer.com, and I write a weekly column. John Sumser does two different radio shows dealing with HR and HR tech, and he writes on technology and data. Then we have a group of about 20 to 25 senior CEOs, HR managers, VPs of HR, and other recruiters and people that work in the HR industry that write guest columns. And so those rotate through. And so there's always interesting voices and perspectives on everything involved in HR and people and work and technology.
Okay, well, we'll let that be the last word, but we look forward to seeing your blog going forward. Heather, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website for more programs on hot-button employment topics affecting the world of HR. Another recent podcast features FMLA compliance tips to steer clear of trouble. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our new 50-state employee handbook resource, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.